Welcome back to the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. This is Rav, your host, recording this late Tuesday morning here in Melbourne, Australia. We are less than 48 hours now from the colossal match, the second leg against Real Madrid at the Bernabeu. And yeah, I was contemplating, am I going a bit early with this in terms of a preview, a match recording? But then again, like I'm struggling to contain my thoughts and my excitement and it's nervous excitement for me. I'm getting, as it edges closer and closer now, my mind is focusing more and more on that match. And in fact, I thought to myself that it's actually more helpful, even from a self-therapy point of view, just to get on and record this and just to record where my head is at. A number of topics that are front of mind, such as team selection, how do we approach this? So why not just get the microphone, get recording, and here we go. Oh, firstly, actually, and that's indicative of how scattered I am, I guess, this morning. I haven't thanked anyone. I haven't thanked you for being here. Normally, I do that in my intro. My apologies. Thank you so much for tuning in. And wherever you are in the world, I hope you are safe. I hope you're well. Hope you're looking after yourselves and each other. And I hope, like me, that you're really looking forward to this match. It's a season-defining match. I'm not pulling any punches with that. I've been consistent with this in the last few weeks, as unfortunately our league season has fizzled out in front of our eyes for a whole host of reasons that we all know, and you certainly don't need me to repeat that, all the contributing factors to it, but it is what it is now. Our league campaign is effectively done, or it has been for some time, really. Liverpool won the other day against West Ham. I haven't seen it, and I just don't need to, right? I haven't seen any highlights. I only saw written on the internet, on the scoreline when I checked. I saw that I think Van Dijk scored in the 19th minute or 89th or something. And look, I can imagine the celebrations, the scenes. I just don't need to see it. Good on them. Good luck to them. And the sooner that league, the league title is officially confirmed, I think the better, because I'm just a bit over it, to be honest. I don't say that lightly, and it's not a nice thing to say, because there's certainly a lot still to play for in our league season. It's important we finish second, which I still do believe we will. We've been helped a little bit by Forest losing the last couple of matches, as we ourselves have been struggling to score enough goals to win matches. We've drawn too many matches in this little patch, and look. Enough about the league campaign. I said I wasn't going to talk too much about it, so I won't. But the point that the reference being is that the Champions League is where everything is on it. Everything's on the line. Everything's on the table. I'm a big movie fan, as I mentioned before, and Passenger 57, Wesley Snipes. Right? It's just one of my all-time silly favorite movies, and the line of dialogue that I've used so many times, right? I've used it so many times in almost any walk of life, from work to whatever, is when he says, "Always bet on black," right? Sorry, just indulge me for a moment, right? I will be making a few movie references here. But the equivalent of that for Arsenal, "Always bet on black," is that we have now put all of our chips, everything we've got, all the frustrations of this season, all the what ifs, and all the pondering questions: what could have been if we did this, if we did that, in the transfer market, and injuries, and officiating decisions, all the what ifs. Right? We have just put it all here now. It's all here. It's all on black. It's all on the line in the Champions League. All of our chips are in this corner, and absolute credit to the club, credit to Arteta. In our three Champions League matches since the Dubai trip, since the end of the January transfer window, we've been fantastic. We thumped PSV 7-1, absolutely dismantled them, and we earned the right to go through in that first leg. And the second leg, you can't really comment too much about it, the goals that we conceded or the fact that we didn't win it and it was a score draw 2-2. You can't really talk too much about that in depth, because it was heavily influenced by the fact that the tie was effectively done. I think everyone knew it. No one's going to publicly come out and say it. Arteta's not going to say, no, we've won it now, we can take our foot off the gas in the second leg. They're all professionals, of course. No one's going to say that. However, internally, they knew that we just need to see this through now And that's the reason why we can't go too in-depth into the goals that we conceded, which remain. The point I'm trying to make in all this is that those two goals we conceded in the Champions League second leg at the Emirates, those are the only two home goals Arsenal have conceded in the Champions League this season. That's outstanding. In an expanded format, 8 group matches, so of course being 4 at home, 4 away, plus the leg against PSV and then Real Madrid last week at home at the Emirates in the first leg, we've only conceded 2 goals, and I've already put an asterisk on them. Given the nature of that situation, so it's absolute testament to Arsenal. We have been quietly putting together such an outstanding Champions League campaign, I feel a bit sick even saying this because I don't want to jinx it. I'm that superstitious, but if Arsenal can do something special this season in the Champions League, if we get to that glory position, right, we will all be looking back on so much of the commentary. We will look back on quietly but surely Arsenal putting together such a phenomenal home record, setting up the group stage, finishing third, earning the right, not through luck but through skill and hard work, earning the right to take those return 2 matches off while the other teams didn't qualify directly. Now, we earned that right, 2 extra matches off, and then await our opponent in the round of 16, and we thumped them. And here we are in the quarterfinal on the cusp of doing something spectacular. So we have been quietly putting together a fantastic Champions League campaign. And we are right on the verge of, we're on the verge of something very, very special. But to even discuss that further, right, we're not quite there yet. The job is not done. It's halftime. So let's get into the preview for Real Madrid. How to approach this one is that there'll be a number of topics I imagine that will be dominating Arsenal fans across the world as we contemplate heading into this second leg. How do we approach it? Team selection, tactics, anything from, you know, can we keep them out for the first 20 minutes, take the crowd out of the equation and work our way into the game? Do we set up more defensively and try and defend for our lives, or at the other end of the spectrum? Do we go out? Do we try and score early, kill them off? There's all sorts of permutations, right? And that this is the beauty of football. This is the beauty of sport. It's part of the theater of it. Like you just don't quite know. There's no perfect solution. If I was able to fully script it as perfectly as possible for me, right? Noting that the world doesn't work this way. But I would love to go out there, score twice in the first 10 minutes and just kill them off. It obviously won't, you know, I'd love if it was that easy. And we got to get past Courtois again, of course. He's the difference. He was the difference in the first leg from it potentially being out of sight already. I'm not saying the tie would have been effectively done. Like I'm not saying we would have put 7 past them like in the first leg against PSV. But I tell you what, with the quality of the chances we created, so many shots on target. Rice was the leading person on the pitch in terms of shots on target. I think he had 5 just by himself. You know, it could have been 5-0, and we're just talking about something completely different right now. Even if we got a 4th somehow, it just changes the entire complexion. 3-0 is an outstanding lead, outstanding deserved result. So I'm not complaining. Please don't get me wrong. The reason, though, that they're still alive, and if there's any team who can rapid fire, you know, pile on the goals and you know, put the pressure right back on Arsenal, it's Real Madrid, Champions League at the Bernabeu. That is a very, very powerful mixture, very powerful, and it stood the test of time. I think they've won it 15 times, right? So there'd be no panic from Madrid that they've got themselves out of situations before, where to any other team across Europe it probably looks dire, but they're Real Madrid and they find a way, and there's a mentality there that unfortunately, you know, few others have. We don't have it. The reality is until we conquer this mountain, until Arsenal, as a club of the size and stature of Arsenal, until we win this competition, you know, we can't We can't thump our chest and say that we've got that as well. So we just need to make sure that whatever we do it with purpose, we do it with authority. And I reckon internally, amongst all the discussions at the club and with Arteta and his fellow assistants and his coaching staff, I think they would know that composure is going to be the most important thing, right? But if we can invite them onto the ball, right, get draw them in, and we can just do what we did last week. The one of the ways we were able to so comprehensively win last week was the running power in midfield. The midfield mixture was about as comprehensive a display of performance as I've seen from any Arsenal team in such a long time. I'm talking 15 years. I have not seen since, and I don't say this lightly again, right? I've been lucky enough to follow the club for 30 years and I've seen some glorious footballers, glorious teams. Patrick Vieira springs to mind because he was an absolute powerhouse in midfield. He had the perfect combination of, he just had that tall, lanky look about him, but my goodness, was he strong. You couldn't dispossess him. Go-go gadget arms they used and legs they used to refer him to. Just when you think he's in trouble, the way those long legs would just twist, turn, nip in to intercept or to tackle or to brush someone off, and then bang, he's away. But he doesn't distribute the ball straight away if he didn't need to. He could run and no one could keep up with him. He was just such a unique profile. And the reason I'm mentioning Vieira so much in glowing terms is because what Arsenal did last week, combinations of Rice, Partey, and then Lewis Skelly as an 18-year-old. Like, you can't dispossess him. They were bouncing off him. Like, these are grown men. Luka Modric, you know, who's more than double his age. These are wonderful, wonderful footballers, world-class footballers. But they were bouncing off us, and they couldn't keep up. The way Rice, Partey, Lewis Skelly, they all took their terms, right? The running power, the combinations, the overload. We were just breezing past them. It was just glorious to watch. It was a sight to behold. And Real Madrid, they just couldn't cope. They just could not cope. And invited fouls that Saka took advantage of, Camavinga with his first yellow, right? This is not luck. It's not a succession of just, you know, lucky things that happen for Arsenal. It was just through hard work and determination and tactics. We overloaded them for a reason. And it paid off in dividends in that second half. I mean, that the third goal, the Marino goal, just as everyone was still basking in the glory of Rice. Rice's two incredible free kicks, which I'm sure, like me, you've watched a few hundred times since, and I might do it again now after I record. but anyway, the way that third goal itself was conjured was through another overload. The way we set up the defenders behind the lines, enabling Trossard and then Lewis Skelly to overload that left flank and interchange with each other. And he picked out a beautiful pass to Marino, who's just clipped it in fantastically well. Just clinical finishing. I want Marino taking shots because I've said this before. I think he'd be leading our stats in terms of conversion rate, shots on target, from the glimpses that he gets. He's putting them on target consistently, and it's fantastic. He's getting the rewards that he deserves. So we had the overload, and this is where I also need to give Kiwior his flowers, because the way we're set up and the way we've been set up for some time is that you've got Gabriel, who covers a very wide area, that roaming left space, because we always have a left back who inverts and pushes forward, creating the overloads. And Gabriel has been able to nip in and get ourselves out of trouble on the counter when we lose possession. His dual winning ability, the second or third duel, he nips in, intercepts, gets it back, retains possession. Saliba in the central areas, of course, who's there to help him. So Kiwior did fantastically well here. There was one key moment where Mbappe was almost away, and Kiwior just, you know, he nipped in, took the ball, retained composure, retained possession, and just dished it off. And then we were back flooding forward again. So it's a very strong system. Arsenal are so well coached. Full credit to Arteta. Full credit to the players stepping in and out to their roles, performing their role in the system. It's beautiful to watch. I'm really, really proud of this current iteration of Arsenal and how hard we've all worked to even be in this position, right? So this is a very long-winded way of saying in terms of how we approach this, I think we should be I know this match starts 0-0, right? But in terms of the aggregate score, it's not. But if Arsenal approach this match in a similar fashion to last week, approach it at 0-0, that we are going to we have the intention to score. We want to score that first goal. Right, I think that's our best bet. I've gone through the permutations in my head a number of times, and I know there's a school of thought to like shut up shop and just try and defend the lead and give them nothing, get to halftime and reassess it. And look, I can understand the logic, and if that's the way we play, look, fair enough. I'll understand. I'll respect that rationale. For me, I think we need to play. I think we need to go with the intention of scoring, especially if we can score early, that crucial period where their crowd is going to be up for it. They always are. It's a very, very, very fanatical crowd, right? I think many, including myself, were just blown away by the home support last week at the Emirates. The pre-match stuff, the anthem, the North London Forever. It was just beautiful to watch. It was beautiful. And we created such an atmosphere that every ball, it was like every contest, every duel, it was like the crowd was on the pitch, willing the players on, screaming for every free kick, which, look, we didn't get many in the first half, to be honest, but that's besides the point for now. Expect the same at Madrid. Expect the same. They are going to be up for it. They absolutely are. They're going to be stoking all the flames, all the fires, amping up that support, that fanatical support that they get from their home crowd. They are going to be baying for blood, so to speak, right? That they're going to be up for it. And we just need to keep our composure. Don't do anything silly, nothing rash, no silly free kicks or cards early. Just do what we need to do, right? And if we do what we do well, we're going to advance. We're going to win. I'm very confident in that, because when Arsenal do what we do well, when we play our game, when we overload, we're playing our game, doing our thing in the final third, good things happen. Good things happen. We're a fantastic team. I know it sounds a little silly saying that, because like, what have we actually won to reflect that? However, just all my eyes are telling me, the way we play, the way we are coached, the quality, the caliber of the mentality, the characteristics of the players that we have right on the pitch who represent our fantastic club, we are an excellent, excellent team. And I think through hard work, perseverance and dedication, good things happen. I'm hoping it happens in the Champions League this year, of course. However, my faith is unwavering otherwise. I do believe we're on the cusp of glory this season or next. We will win those major trophies to reflect, to cap off this current chapter of Arsenal. Back to this match though. Someone was to ask me point blank, how should we approach this? I would be saying something very similar to what I said last week. If you caught my recording, my pre-match recording for the first leg, thank you if you did. Thank you so much if you tuned in for that one. You will note that I used another famous movie reference from Predator. If it bleeds, we can kill it. Sorry for any spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen Predator, but very, very famous scene with Arnold Schwarzenegger when contemplating the threat of the alien predator who's stalking them, and they realize that they found blood in the jungle leaves that belonged, that was fluorescent green. So clearly not from a human. It was from the alien, and Arnie simply said that if it bleeds, we can kill it. And we made Real Madrid bleed last week. We did. I've touched on it. Why? The primary reason we did is through the midfield, the midfield overload. So we should be approaching this match just like we did last week. And also, you know, truth be told, any opponent really, like, how can we hurt them? How can we make them bleed? And whatever we're going to do, do it well. And Arsenal certainly did that last week, and I'm thinking the approach will be similar this time. Selection though it's under a cloud. I know Mikel plays his cards very, very close to his chest. He referred to I think he used the word significant injury or something for Partey or something along the lines that he felt an injury, so we didn't want to risk him and we took him off. So something to do with that. He won't always reveal Right, because it's classic gamesmanship that all managers do, and Arteta himself does quite well, keeping the opposition guessing. So from what I understand, it was more so precautionary. If Ben White was fit, and how lucky we had to have Yuring Timber, by the way, because White's absence over these several months has been massive for Arsenal, massive for the club. He's been integral the last few years in Arsenal's return to contending. He's been integral. So if White was fit, he would have stepped in. He would have played it right back. But we obviously wanted to protect Timber, who had a bit of an injury cloud, a knock from last week, and we know we absolutely need him starting at the Bernabeu. His job on Vinny Jr. was outstanding, and hoping he can replicate something similar. So Partey, it's not ideal, of course, but however, he's shown time and again that he can step in and do the job there at right back in the Premier League. We certainly don't want to see that at the Bernabeu. So Partey, I imagine he was earmarked for 70 minutes anyway, before a change was made, and in a timeshare sort of approach. So I think he's okay. I saw some clips of him in the mix zone after the match doing some interviews, and usually speaking, you don't send out an injured player to do that. He seemed okay from the audio, from the clips, the short clips that I've seen. So touch wood, I'm hoping that means Partey can play, because he was fantastic last week. He's had big game experience in Spain from his time at Atletico, big derbies, big occasions, big matches. It's always spicy between those two Madrid powerhouses. So he's really important that he plays, because if he's not, unfortunately as well, Jorginho, who otherwise I'd feel very, very comfortable stepping into a game of this magnitude. I mean, Jorginho is a serial pro, a serial professional, a winner himself, oozes class and composure, and has a ton of experience at this level. So I would have felt very comfortable him stepping in. But unfortunately, it looks really nasty. I've seen it again since I recorded after the Brentford match. It looked awful, right? The way he landed and how much pain he looked like in coming off, that looks to me like a broken rib. I don't believe at the time of recording anything official has come out from the club, but it's got all the hallmarks, sadly, for a broken rib. And look, potentially, I don't know if we're going to see him again this season. If so, because they're very nasty injuries. They're just very nagging injuries. They take a long time to heal. There's not much else you can really do but rest and recover. And it's just a very unfortunate situation for him, of course, primarily, and the club, because now we're down a very strong squad option. Unfortunately. So hoping Partey can play, because our options then otherwise are a little bit thin. I don't want to be, I know Rice is very much capable of playing that six, but I don't want to be tinkering too much with the midfield lineup. I don't want to have to shuffle things around too much and bring Marino back from centre forward or look to put Lewis Skelly in there. I'm hoping it's a very similar 11 to last week. Partey can start and do his thing, and hopefully the midfield as well picks up where we left off from last week. So those are probably the main selection dilemmas. Otherwise, the team largely picks itself, touch wood, barring any unforeseen injuries or further knocks in training or anything, or illness. Hopefully not, but I'd imagine it's Martinelli, who played the 90 minutes on against Brentford, which is a bit peculiar, because he had Sterling there on the bench that could maybe have absorbed 25, 30 minutes at the end and get Martinelli off, because he's going to be needed, especially his defensive work. He's an excellent contributor at both ends of the pitch. So it was a little bit strange when you got Sterling sitting there and not being utilized. But anyway, that's a whole nother discussion. The whole Sterling signing itself is probably worthy of a separate discussion one day. So yeah, Martinelli, Marino centre forward, Saka, of course, to start on the right. Then I imagine the midfield is very similar. We'd have Odegaard, Rice, Partey at the base in a 4-3-3. And then the back four, Timber, Saliba, Kiwior, Lewis Skelly and then Raya. So I'd imagine, barring anything unforeseen, if all those players are available, then I think that will be the 11 that starts. And of course, we've got quality as well to call upon. Kieran Tierney is really, he's an ultimate professional as well, along with Kiwior, Jorginho, who I've mentioned many, many times, right? Just the quality and caliber of having players of those characteristics in your squad, they're integral to winning things. You barely hear a bad word from any of these guys, right? And it's not lost on me that it was just, it seems like a long time ago, but it also wasn't. Just a few seasons ago, we were in a strange situation with such a disgruntled, disjointed squad, right? And there were all sorts of leaks coming out from the dressing room, and had all sorts of cliques, and strange things happening, right? We had so many defenders that we couldn't even fully register some of them. Remember Socrates and there was Mustafi, Kolasinac. Ozil, of course. We just couldn't even register them in the squads because we just had too many and we couldn't move them on for a host of reasons. The salaries they were on and it was a very, very strange time, a very fractured time at Arsenal. And that stuff, it matters. It impacts on the pitch. And strange things were happening when we saw, the footage of Kolasinac and Ozil, there was an attempted carjacking and stuff. It was a very, very strange. I'm glad that we've moved so far in such a short period of time. From that, we now have just a very cohesive, unified team morale and the energy they transmit. And, Arteta's huge on that word. What energy are we transmitting to each other and ourselves and to the fans? And how do we represent the club as ambassadors and as people, as human beings? And it's really powerful stuff. And it's really, really tangible for me. And that stuff matters to me as well, right? Just how do you uphold yourself as a human being? And I'm bringing it back down to Kieran Tierney. How fantastic for him that in quite likely his final few weeks, months at the club, that he's now playing meaningful minutes in meaningful matches, and he'll be needed again. I imagine he will come on in the second half at the Bernabeu, and what a fantastic, trusted, experienced professional to call upon in those situations, and it's brilliant for him, and hopefully he ends his Arsenal tenure on a wonderful high, right? You all know what I'm referring to. We all know the trophy that we want to lift at the end of the season. So, look, I'm nervous. I am. When I'm nervous, I start talking fast as well. So apologies for this recording. Thank you for putting up with me. This has helped me as well, just to contextualize my many, many thoughts. And I wonder if I need to record another one. That might be a bit excessive if I have to record again tomorrow. But this has been very helpful for me. I hope it's been beneficial or value to you. Please do let me know any feedback. I'd love to hear what your lineup would be or your approach or your tactics. If you're going to the match as well, please do reach out, share your experiences in Madrid. I read every single word. I would love to discuss it and absorb every bit of Arsenal related content I can. So I think I will bring this one to a close there. Thank you so much as always. Thank you for all the kind reviews on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. They really do help, the 5-star reviews boosting engagement. And if you're listening on YouTube, please kindly consider liking, subscribing, all that good stuff. It really does mean a lot to me. Please, I welcome your thoughts and feedback as always. Thank you so much for listening, and my goodness me, I hope the next time that you hear my voice post Real Madrid, I hope I'm talking about a wonderful result at the Bernabeu. So thank you again. Look after yourself, stay safe, and of course, come on Arsenal.